Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Welcome back to Take Command. Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, looking back at the Commanders from a 44-22 loss to the Detroit Lions. All right, offensively, you know, it sounds funny to say after you get beat handily, but there was plenty to like, and they made some real strides. We can get to the run game, which still struggled to find its footing, but the vertical passing game was back. And I liked Marcus Mariota's game fine in real time. When I went back and watched, I actually really liked how he played. I don't know how you feel, but 16 of 22, couple hundred yards, two touchdowns. Rating was over 130, didn't turn the ball over. I thought that's a kind of game, if you're playing a lesser team, that gives you a chance to win.
I think so, too. And I think, you know, I got kind of roasted in the postgame show that we did with the Commanders for being, like, too optimistic. But I think there are reasons to be optimistic about the offense specifically, right? Like, when you look at Marcus Mariota, like, he manages this offense very, very well. And it's not just as a runner. Like, I think he just made consistent, good, positive decisions in this game. And I think, you know, Cliff deserves a lot of credit for getting in 12, getting in 13 personnel, getting them to match in zone, getting them out of their man coverage tendencies, and letting these guys on the perimeter who are maybe a little bit less skilled find ways to win. And I think Marcus did a decent job of facilitating that, where it's like you get that deep dig to Treylon Burks. Like, I haven't seen a throw like that in a couple of weeks. You know what I mean? Where we've got, it's a contested catch, tight window. There's my guy. Let me throw it to you, right? There's the go down the sideline where you get a guy who can actually win versus man-to-man coverage. And unfortunately, Treylon Burks isn't playing this week because of the finger injury, which is a real bummer. But I do think you saw signs of life. I mean, even seeing Jalen Lane down the field in a contested catch situation, like, that's a nice explosive element to this offense that we haven't seen. And so I do think that Marcus did a lot of good things in this game, very positive things. And I think, like you said, versus maybe a lesser team or a lesser offense, you're in a better situation. The one thing that keeps popping up with this group is their inefficiency on third down. And when you've got a defense like the one the Commanders currently have, you have to possess the football more. And we've talked about, you know, running the football, explosive shots. I also think we have to get back to some of the stuff we were doing in terms of being really good on third down like we were last year, just being a touch more aggressive on fourth down. I think that's something that we have to think about too. Because again, when your defense can't stop them, the field position thing to me doesn't really matter. It's like, we just got to score points. And so those are, again, I think Marcus did a lot of really good things. I think the offensive line played relatively well. There's some things obviously they can clean up, but for the most part played well. And so I think if you can get your O-line playing well and the quarterback playing well, you definitely got a shot each and every week you play football. It's just now, can we become a touch more efficient on these critical situations? Because if we can, we got a shot.
2 for 10 on third down in this game was disastrous, but they ranked 19th, which is kind of middling, you know, not awful, but as you said, about 37% conversion rate. A lot of that's going to come back to what you're down in distance. Generally, what coaches do is they'll break it down. 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 3 or so, the rate of success in the league is pretty significantly better than 3rd and medium, which is still right around 50 or a little better than that. And then you go 3rd and 7 or longer, you're just asking to punt. I mean, that's how it's going to work. And yep, they've been in some of those longer down and distances because they haven't run the ball quite as well, which why don't we go there now? I think naturally that's the transition. So Bill averages 2.7 a pop. Rodriguez averaged 2.7 a pop before he got hurt. Those guys combined for 16 for 46, I guess it was in this game. And then Jeremy McNichols did have a 9-yard run. You take that away, it was like 4 for 16 for him. He was their most effective guy as their third used running back as like a change of pace. But the streak continues here of 4+ weeks without really being able to run it effectively. I thought they did some cool things, especially in the passing game out of the 13 personnel and using extra tight ends, and I want to see more of that. But they still couldn't get the run game going. What'd you see?
Yeah, and again, I go back to this. Everyone says, oh, we got to, you know, just find a way to be more efficient running the football. That is a fake statistic, in my opinion. It's something that I'm glad you brought up because 2.7, it tells a story of the game, right? But what you need to do is you need to convert on third down so you can just give the backs more attempts. Like, that's really what it comes down to, right? We just need to possess the ball more effectively, right? And so I think that's where I'd say, like, to me, it's a little bit of a canary in the coal mine. It is a significant thing to look at, but it's significant for a different reason than what most people would look to, right? The run game is inefficient because we're not getting the back enough touches. And people say, well, give the back more touches. That's logically, that makes sense. But when you look at football, it doesn't make sense because you need to make sure that you're possessing the football. And so, again, that's where I'd say, like, the third down thing to me trickles down to this metric too, because there's going to be a time where Chris Rodriguez is going to break off a 15-yard run, a 16-yard run, and all of a sudden that average looks way, way better, right? Way more significant, way improved. And so to me, the run game, I think they did some good things. When you pack bodies in, man, you better be ready to kind of, you know, have a slobber knocker of a fight. You're not going to have clean runs. You're kind of waiting for that one that squirts and pops out. But to me, it's indicative of something completely different than what I think a lot of people would take from that data at face value.
So I want to go chicken or the egg with you, like counter that just a bit, which is to say, if you're averaging 2.7, aren't you often in longer third downs? And it's part of the reason why you're not converting on third down. Like, in other words, there's 1st and 10 runs where you're setting up 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8 when you're not running well. And now an incompletion and it's 3rd and punt. Whereas if you're averaging 4, 4.5, whatever, you're more often in 2nd and 6 and then maybe in 3rd and 2 and your conversion rate goes up. So is there a little chicken or the egg there?
I think they are correlated for sure. That's why I'm saying it's not an insignificant statistic, right? Because it's an offensive football play. They're all related. You know what I mean? But I do think, like, it comes down to frequency when you're running the football, right? You're going to get a misfit. Like, the thing is, when you go 3 and out, you give it back to them and they're possessing the football for a long period of time. I'm talking about the Detroit Lions, right? Like, the offense is out of rhythm, right? There's a pressure, a strain on the offense. Imagine, like, I think about the best moments for this offense where they're able to find an explosive chunk. They're able to get in a little momentum. This offense is so devastating when they have the momentum of a first down behind them and they're just rolling and they just find these easy completions, chunks. The run game seems to come to life. It's awesome to see. Like, I think about, for example, like there was a 3 and out in the third quarter where Cliff Kingsbury chose to go play action pass on first down, which I love, right? But a little bit of pressure, ball's incomplete, it's 2nd and 10. And I was like, man, if you just start that, even with a 2.7-yard rush, and you get to 2nd and 7, like, you are still – the playbook is still at your disposal. We can play action, we can RPO, we can do whatever we need to do. And that number is very low, to me it's just about sequencing plays, putting yourself in a position where, hey, we can go on a 6-play drive as opposed to a 3-play drive. And again, that's the thing that it seems to be the biggest bugaboo for the offense. And again, they are related, but I would like to say, again, like, if you go on a 6-play drive and you get the back 3 touches, that's great. If it's 3 and out and you give the back 1 touch, like you never give them the opportunity to find that explosive opportunity to find that chunk run that's going to help the average and help the offense look a little bit more efficient. And so that's why I kind of look in that direction a little bit more. But you're right. I mean, it is related for sure.
Yeah. So I'm never going to be a run the dang ball guy. It's just not how I see the game. But I understand the value of it. And as someone who played in the league in your role, like, you know this better than I do or anybody listening. Like, there is – even if you're not running it effectively in terms of yards per attempt, there are wins with quantity over quality. And to this point, what you're talking about, which is like, you know, the efficiency maybe helping you stay on the field or whatever. Like, you know, the San Francisco 49ers right now are dead last in yards per attempt.
And I think like, I think Seattle's not doing great either. I think they're pretty low also. Yeah,
they're 29th in the NFL out of 32 teams. Which is crazy to me. Now, Seattle gets some explosives and they pop some big ones like San Francisco does. But, you know, those are really effective offenses with top 10 passing games and they still have play action. And so you'd like to see more things built off of that. But I'll be curious to see as they kind of go further here with leaning more into the tight ends being on the field, 12 and 13 personnel, if that's what they're going to do, which is what I've wanted to see more of in the passing game anyway. I think that's where play action and some explosives come from anymore in this sport. Like, how does that work in the run game? Because you are bringing more bodies in, and it kind of muddies some things up. Could this also mean, if they're going to go heavier with personnel, good things for Ben Sinnott? You know, we saw him catch a touchdown. I know people have been calling for him. It's not an unreasonable ask for a second-round pick to be targeted more than once a month or so. Like, could we start to see him get more involvement in the passing game, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's one of the things I'm excited about with the 12 and 13 personnel is like, I think that's where he is most effective is off of the play action shot. You know, I think we saw a little bit of that on his touchdown where he's running to the flat, get him the football kind of at or near the line of scrimmage and let him work from a yards after catch standpoint, or let him work something vertical where the action of the run, the action of the play action is setting you up to create space as opposed to you having to generate and create space on your own the way like Zach Ertz would, for example. So I think that's a huge benefit of the 13 and 12 personnel is that maybe you'll see a little bit more Ben Sinnott. But yeah, and again, just to go back to the run game thing, like, because I think it's a really interesting conversation.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
When you look at Seattle, the thing that jumps out, when you look at San Francisco, the thing that jumps out is that they continually run the football and they'll kind of bang their head against the wall.
Right.
But they're able to do that because they're getting first downs. You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah,
it's this weird.
Look at the plays they run per game.
Yeah.
For people at home, like, if one succinct way to put this is like, if you're running 53 snaps in a game, you're probably not getting enough targets for your number one receiver and you're mad about that. you know, you're probably not getting enough carries for your running back and you want more. Well, there's teams that are running 79 snaps in a game. Guess what? Right. All of a sudden, somebody gets 12 targets. The running back gets 19 carries. It's a volume issue when you're not staying on the field, is your point, which is just intuitive. I mean, that makes sense.
And so, again, to me, like, one of the things when you watch San Francisco, they're great on third down. They have a great third down package for Christian McCaffrey specifically. When you look at Seattle, like the Jackson Smith and Jigba element of that offense, and the pull routes, the deep digs, and his relationship with Sam Darnold, it keeps him on the field and it lets guys get touches. And eventually, you'll see Zach Charbonnet what's the other running back's name from Michigan State?
Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker. Like, they'll pop one. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, that's a pretty good day at the office. And I go back to even Detroit when I was prepping for them, watching them versus the Tampa Bay game. Tampa Bay did a good job stopping the run. But Detroit got first downs. They stuck with it. And Jahmyr Gibbs rips off a 75-yard touchdown run. So you're like, oh, that average all of a sudden looks amazing. And that's one of the reasons why. So, again, like, you bring up a great point in terms of offensive efficiency. But I look at last year, like, they weren't, like, the most efficient team running the football. On early downs, Jaden did a great job of extending drives with scrambles. Quick game was a huge element, getting them to third and manageable, and then converting, like you were just talking about. So I think, to me, like, that's the thing I'd want to see moving forward with the offense is, yes, you've designed an offense well, but now can we make sure that we're efficient and possessing the football?
Daniels had an all-time third down season statistically in terms of EPA, and frankly, unsustainably so. And so that was part of it last year. By the way, this goes against my theory, because the Niners are third in the NFL on third downs, despite being dead last in yards per attempt. Meaning, you know, I was saying, doesn't that mean you're behind the chains and less likely to convert? Seahawks, for what it's worth, 16th on third down. But to your point, both of those teams staying on the field, converting more, getting those touches. I wanted to talk really quickly about Treylon Burks, because this is the story of this season, as far as I'm concerned. Like, it can end whenever it wants to. Treylon Burks, I mean, this dude, like, that was exciting to me. I am looking for moments and stories and anecdotes and things like this where I'm like, damn, we might have a little something here. Washington might have found a guy. Three targets, three catches, 58 yards, 37 down the field. He's physical. You mentioned the dig and the conceptually, like, boxing guys out. He's fighting through contact on the outside. He's huge, 6'2", 225. He's a former first-round pick. I'm going, I can't wait to watch him against Miami. Let's see if he can stack pennies here. Let's see if we can put another one on tape. And then we find out he had some mini procedure on his finger, some mini surgery. He's not going to be out for a long time, but at least this week, hopefully he's back after the bye, and he doesn't even make the trip to Madrid. Welcome to 2025 with this team. Like, he was the story coming out of the game in a lot of ways.
I know.
How cool is this? Treylon Burks might be playing well this season. And then he's gone before you can even pat him on the back.
Dude, I was talking to Santana about that. And, like, we were like, you know, it was post-game. We're like, we don't know anything about the hand injury yet. And Tana's like, man, like, he's got something. And like you said, when you see a first-round guy that's kicked around a little bit because of injury, and all of a sudden they seem to be healthy, you see the movement skills, you see the ball skills, you see the way he snatches the football, you're like, man, like, that guy can play some football. And again, like, he's a young player. If he continues to develop, shoot, like, when Terry comes back, when Noah comes back, now we've got maybe a third guy here that can do some stuff for you in the pass game, and it becomes exciting. And then, like you said, this is the story. Anytime anybody shows any kind of promise,
right, anytime anything good happens, that guy will be unavailable soon.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, we were talking about Payne, like, and his is a very different thing, like we just talked about, but he was having a great year, and then now he's not available in this game, right? Treylon Burks not available in this game. And it's just – and C-Rod, man, I was so excited to see him get more touches early to kind of open it up and soften it up for Bill Kroski-Merritt. And he's got a shoulder. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, my gosh, like, anything positive that seems to get you juiced about the game. It's not like – even the Marcus Mariota thing loses some of its shine because the guy that he was going to be throwing to is not going to play in this game. So, I don't know, man. This is something that I've talked to you about a little bit off air. This is a very tough year to talk about this team because I love the Commanders. I love football. I love talking ball. I love talking about good football. And every time anything seems to blossom in front of us, it's like this big old hand comes down and just squishes it down. You're like, okay, well, I guess I'll look for another little flower here somewhere in this mud, you know? So.
Papa, is anything worth talking about, Papa? Will there ever be hope?
You're the little British boy. Just getting spotted away. You're like,
maybe it's true. Maybe we'll get some bread from the bread line today.
I don't know
why. Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
I don't know why there's a bread line. But yeah, man, it's just like, you got to be kidding me. And look, I am a guy who believes in, like, everyone does this next man up tough guy bit. This is not a this year thing. This is just my philosophy. Go back and listen to me on the radio for 15 years. I don't really play that game because the next man up normally isn't as good. But you can miss a few guys here or there, right? Next men up doesn't work for me. Having said that, even as I think, like, fair to injuries and to teams as I am, and I'm just speaking for myself, the expectation cannot be that you just get your teeth kicked in by 20 every week. And there's this middle ground here that they've got to find, right? Which is to say, I get it. You're not going to be a top five defense. You're not going to beat Kansas City or Detroit or Seattle, who I think right now might be the most complete team in the league. But you can't lose four straight games by 20 plus when no one's done it in 23 years. And, like, that's where they've got to find a way. You can't just – this is not some directional Florida taking on SEC teams. Like, you got to be better than they have. And I think if they can be competitive and they can put some good things on film defensively, we're saying it's really hard to find them right now. And there's some things that you can look at. Then people might feel a little bit differently about this, the operation, the trend, the way things head into next year. But I think even reasonable people can sit here and go, yes, the injuries are terrible. They're getting decimated. You know, the Lions had three linemen out and just kept on marching toward the goal line. You know, like, sometimes you can just make a play. Sometimes other guys can step up, and they definitely need more of that.
I think the thing you said there is, like, you just want them to be competitive, right? And I think that's what Dan and this staff wants. Like, every time he comes to the presser, he's like, I just want us to be – what does he say? I want us to be competitive and tough, right? And right now, for whatever reason, that's not going down the way he wants it to go down. That's why some of the changes have been made. But I think that the staff and the team, they want what we want. And I think it's a reasonable expectation. And it's speaking to the next man up thing, yeah, like, you're not going to be as good as the guy that's starting, but can you at least – be competitive? And I think that's what we're getting at here. And I think it's a great point.
They just, and this might be a week to do it, honestly, that they're leveling down. They had their toughest stretch. I called it the gauntlet against three elite teams in a row while they were their most hurt. Now this is more of a pick 'em type game against the Miami Dolphins. And this is a game, frankly, that you should absolutely be able to win. So let's see what this looks like on Sunday. I think this would be more revealing than the ones before it, if it were to go really badly. And then we got to have some tough conversations next week. But we're allowed to talk about wins, too. And ideally, we get to do that at some point again on Take Command. All right, we'll put a bow on the show next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.